Imagine running 13.1 miles, a record speed, only to lose a race to a robot.
Seriously, a robot beat humans in a half marathon?
Yeah, and by a significant margin too. It's a game changer for competitive running.
Okay, now I'm intrigued.
Welcome to Hot Reload, the podcast where we dive into the stories shaping the tech world.
Today we've got a lineup that's hard to resist. Ever wondered about the fake star economy on GitHub?
Plus huge news from Apple's headquarters, Tim Cook is stepping down.
And wait until you hear about the surprising percentage of music on Deezer that's AI generated.
So grab your running shoes and hang tight, because this episode's off to a sprinting start with that robotic marathoner.
Did you hear about the marathon race in Beijing that's all over the news? Apparently, robots just smoked the human competition.
Yeah, it's a pretty wild development. A humanoid robot from Honor, that Chinese smartphone maker, not only participated, but actually set a new record, beating the human world record by several minutes.
Wow, that's impressive. So how did this even happen?
The event was a half marathon. An Honor's robot ran the 13-mile course in 50 minutes and 26 seconds. That's a full 6 minutes faster than the human world record set by Jacob Kiplimo from Uganda.
Wait, how are robots running these races? Are they, like, built specifically for speed?
Essentially, yes. These robots have long legs, about 37 inches in length, which obviously helps with speed. Plus, they've got some high-tech features like a custom liquid cooling system adapted from consumer electronics. Keeps them running efficiently.
So these aren't your typical robots like you'd see in a factory, then?
Right, these are designed to be more humanoid, with capabilities to navigate real-world environments autonomously. The competition included 300 robots from 100 teams, and Honor's Lightning model dominated.
And the whole event was all about showcasing speed and autonomy.
Exactly, plus it ties into a larger picture. China and the US are heavily investing in these types of robots. Companies like Boston Dynamics and even Tesla are developing humanoids for tasks beyond just running, think factories or warehouses.
So these robots could potentially be working among us in the not so distant future.
That's the vision, though right now, most are still in pilot phases. But here's what really stuck with me, how these competitions are also a testbed for new technologies that could improve industries globally.
Like a real-world tech lab.
Exactly. They test the limits of materials and software feeding into developments for real-world applications, not just running, but logistics and automation.
Seriously, how was the human community reacting to this tech advancement?
Many are intrigued by the possibilities, but there's some skepticism too. Navigating a race is one thing. Operating in chaotic environments is another. Still, the rapid progress can't be ignored.
Are there any parallels being drawn between this and other industries?
Definitely. The competition is fierce and firms are testing robots in diverse areas. It's part endurance race, part sprint for supremacy, much like in the tech industry where evolution is constant and rapid.
So what does this mean for us regular humans?
For athletes, it's a new kind of motivation. Plus, it showcases engineering feats that might innovate how we approach tech in daily life. It's not just about running, it's about pushing human boundaries through technology.
Fascinating. From running to stardom, I hear GitHub is reshaping its reputation game. Up next, we'll dive into the world of fake star economies.
Today, we're diving into GitHub's world of fake stars and how this shadow economy is gaming project visibility.
Fake stars, why should we care about GitHub stars being manipulated?
These stars can influence funding decisions in the tech world. Startups often rely on visibility for investment, and artificial stars give a false sense of popularity.
So it actually impacts real money decisions. That's a big deal.
Absolutely. We're talking billions in venture capital being influenced by these metrics.
Wow. Okay, let's break this down. How deep does this manipulation go?
It's surprisingly systematic. Stars can cost as little as 6 cents each. This setup enables thousands of repositories to inflate their popularity artificially.
Seriously, for just 6 cents, that's pocket change.
Crazy, right? The practice has been mapped out extensively, with marketplaces openly selling these stars.
How do researchers track these fake stars? There must be some way to spot them.
Researchers at Carnegie Mellon have analyzed terabytes of GitHub data using a tool called Star Scout to identify suspicious activity. They found millions of fake stars spread across thousands of repositories.
wait, with that much data, how do they figure out what's fake?
That's where account analysis comes in. These fake stars often come from unsophisticated accounts with zero activity or followers.
So they're like ghost accounts, easy to spot if you know what to look for.
That's right. A glaring signal is the fork to star ratio. A healthy project might have 100 forks per 1,000 stars. Anything lower is suspicious.
I imagine repos with tons of stars but no forks look pretty fishy.
Exactly. Some extreme cases have been documented, like Union Labs, where nearly half their stars are flagged as fake.
That's substantial. But how deep does this problem go in terms of industry impact?
It ties directly into VC processes. Many venture capitalists use these star counts as a criterion for investment sourcing.
They're actually investing based on these inflated numbers.
Yes, and it gets even more intricate. Fake stars can essentially manufacture the traction that investors are looking for.
But don't investors realize these numbers can be so easily gamed?
They're starting to, but the feedback loop keeps the problem going. Stars lead to visibility, which leads to investments, encouraging more manipulation.
So it's a vicious cycle.
Spot on. Until structural changes occur, like weighted popularity metrics, this cycle is likely to continue.
It's fascinating, but alarming. Any move towards stronger enforcement yet?
GitHub's efforts are mostly reactive. A significant chunk of flagged repositories are removed, yet many accounts remain for future exploits.
Any legal consequences for those inflating their metrics this way?
The FTC and SEC have laid some groundwork for penalties, mainly around fake indicators of influence, but specific charges for GitHub stars haven't happened yet.
So, just a matter of time before the legal gavel drops.
Probably. As this economy matures, regulation seems inevitable. Now let's switch gears. Heard about Tim Cook? He's stepping down as Apple's CEO.
Big news from Apple today. Tim Cook is stepping down as CEO, handing the reins over to John Ternus. This is huge, right?
Absolutely, Jamie. Tim Cook has been with Apple since 1998 and became CEO in 2011. He's been instrumental in shaping Apple into what it is today. His departure marks a significant change for the company.
So, who is this John Ternus and why is everyone talking about this transition?
John Ternus is currently Apple's Senior Vice President of Hardware Engineering. He's been with Apple since 2001 and has played a key role in creating many of their iconic products like the iPad and the AirPods.
Oh, those are big shoes to fill. What can we expect from Ternus taking over?
Ternus has a hands-on approach and a strong technical background. He's known for his down-to-earth leadership style. Expect him to maintain Apple's high standards for product innovation and perhaps introduce some fresh perspectives, especially in hardware.
Sounds promising. What did Tim Cook achieve during his tenure that's been really transformative for Apple?
Well, under Cook's leadership, Apple launched products like the Apple Watch and AirPods. He also spearheaded Apple's shift towards services, a now massive $100 billion business.
Wait, $100 billion?
Yep. That blew my mind too. It's not just about gadgets. Services like iCloud and Apple Pay have expanded hugely.
Incredible. But why is Cook stepping down now and what will his new role be?
Cook isn't fully retiring. He'll become the executive chairman of Apple's board. This means he'll still have a say, particularly with policymaking and steering long-term vision.
Ah, so he's not gone. And how does this transition impact Apple's strategy moving forward?
Well, according to Cook, Ternus is the right person to lead Apple. It seems like a move to ensure continuity while also injecting new energy into the company's future.
And I bet there've been insider buzz. Were there signs this was coming?
Definitely. Over the past couple of years, reports from places like the Financial Times and Bloomberg speculated Cook would step down around now with Ternus as the front runner.
Any changes in Apple's leadership team overall with this shift?
Yes, Johnny Strogi is now the chief hardware officer, taking over some of Ternus's previous responsibilities. And Tom Mareeb moves up to head of hardware engineering. It's a reshuffling that signals stability and experience.
Apple seems set on maintaining their course with trusted insiders. Do you think we'll see any dramatic changes with this new leadership?
Personally, I think they'll continue refining their focus on high-quality hardware and services. Ternus's history suggests a steady hand at continuing Apple's innovative legacy.
Transition of a tech giant indeed. Next up, we'll dive into how AI is reshaping music on streaming platforms like Deezer. Apparently, 44% of daily uploads are AI generated. Now that's a tech twist.
Deezer has shared some eyebrow-raising numbers about the music uploaded to its platform, and it turns out 44% of it is AI-generated. That's nearly half of all new tracks.
Wow, that's a huge chunk. But what does it really mean for us listeners and for artists out there?
That's exactly the key question. While the sheer volume is striking, the actual consumption of these AI tracks remains incredibly low, around just 1 to 3% of total streams on Deezer.
So even though they're uploading like crazy, people aren't really hitting play on them?
Exactly. And here's where it gets interesting. Most of these streams, about 85%, are detected as fraudulent and demonetized by Deezer.
Fraudulent? How does that work? Are bots just playing these tracks on loop?
Pretty much. Deezer's been proactive in catching these streams using their AI detection tools, which they've enhanced since January 2025. They started with detecting about 10,000 AI tracks a day, and now they're at 75,000.
So, is Deezer just swimming in these AI songs? How are they managing the load?
Well, they've put measures in place. AI-generated tracks are removed from any algorithmic recommendations and editorial playlists. They're essentially flagged and sidelined to not disrupt the organic music flow.
That makes sense, but are listeners even aware of these AI creations when they pop up?
Funny you should ask. Here's the part that got me. In a survey Deezer conducted last November, 97% of participants couldn't tell the difference between fully AI-generated music and human-made music.
Wait, seriously, that's almost everyone. How's that possible?
It's surprising, right? This lack of discernment fuels the ongoing debate about labeling. The same survey suggested that 80% of respondents want AI-generated music to be clearly marked.
So, aren't major platforms like Spotify or Apple Music also doing this?
They are involved, yes, but their approaches aren't as systematic as Deezer's. Spotify and Apple often leave transparency efforts up to the distributors, whereas Deezer pioneered the tagging at the platform level.
But is this AI music really charting at all or influencing the music landscape somehow?
Actually, last week an AI-generated track did reach the top of the iTunes charts across 5 countries. It's not just background noise anymore, it's making waves.
Wow, so this isn't just a fringe issue. It feels like AI is barging in on the music scene more aggressively than I thought.
Deezer's CEO, Alexis Lantanilla, even made a point to highlight the urgency. They're pushing for the entire music ecosystem to help safeguard artists' rights as AI becomes more mainstream.
Is there any backlash from artists or creators about this trend?
Definitely. Many artists are concerned that an influx of AI-generated tracks could saturate the market and overshadow human creators. It's a pivotal moment for the industry.
This seems like an evolving story to keep an eye on. Up next, we've got a big development in privacy regulations that could shake up the tech world.
I'm still reeling from that robot marathon record. It feels like we're one step closer to robots just quietly taking over our athletic competitions, doesn't it?
Totally. Though for me, GitHub's fake star economy is where the real surprise is. It's like the tech world's dirty little secret, and it undermines real talent.
That's a fair point. But I still can't get over robots potentially beating us at our own game. The future's coming at us fast.
Yet, imagining nearly half of Deezer's uploads being AI-generated, that's blowing my mind. The music industry could be changing overnight.
You've got a valid worry there. But enough about AI tracks, let's wrap things up.
Today, we took a look at a robot breaking marathon records, the shadowy side of GitHub's fake stars, Tim Cook stepping down from Apple, and the AI deluge in music on Deezer.
Thanks for hanging out with us on Hot Reload. If you enjoyed today's episode, remember to subscribe and leave a review.
And hey, share this episode with a friend who loves tech. We always appreciate your support.
Until next time, keep questioning everything tech.